Very warm greetings to everyone in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. How is your life? How are you ordering your own life? I'm sure all of us have our own way of living, ordering our own lives and what we think is the best for ourselves. We try to accomplish them. And if we are told to change, and we are told to make adjustments, very often we resist, because to change would imply that perhaps I could be wrong. To change would imply that the past few years of how I have lived my life would be considered a mistake. And so we resist change. We do not like people to tell us that I'm not living my life as a parent correctly, or as a husband or as a wife correctly, or as a friend or as an employer or as an employee. We just like to be told that you are fine, that you are right, you are okay. That's what we like. This morning we're going to look at the topic called sanctification. It's a word that simply means to be made holy, set apart for a particular holy purpose. That's all. It's not a difficult word. You see, when you look at the world by every way and mean possible, they try to make themselves holy by good works. They know they have done bad things. When they do wrong, they try to counter what they have done wrong by some good deeds, and hoping that at the end of their life, they would have enough good deeds to overcome their bad deeds. And that's the motivation in some philanthropic people's life and their conduct and their behavior. They build schools, they build hospitals, they donate large sums of money if you are a multi-millionaire, hoping that all these good deeds may sanctify you, help you to be a little better. But this is not the sanctification that the Bible speaks of. Remember this passage, since we started studying from chapter 4 of 1 Thessalonians, when God began by reminding us that we who are alive when the Lord Jesus Christ returns to take us home to be with Him must be watchful. These are a series of verses teaching us how to be watchful. And when we come to verse 23 on this issue of sanctification, you realize that this is precisely why we need to be very watchful concerning our life. Because if you are not sanctified, if you are not made holy, then the alternative is that you are a sinner, that you continue to live in sin. You mean Christians and believers who know the Lord Jesus Christ will still live in sin? Yes. If you are not sanctified, you will live in sin. There are no two ways about it. There's no such thing as neutrality. As long as you are alive, you have two options as Christians: to live a life that is holy, that means sanctified, or you live a life of disobedience, and it is a life of sin. And if it is a life of sin, you bear a terrible witness. You are telling the world that, yes, I'm a Christian, look at how I live, but it is a life of sin. And people say, well, your Christ is not a very good Christ. Because if He is a good Christ and He is truly what you say He is, that He is the Son of God as you share the gospel with me, then why do you live a life that is covered with sin? Look at your life in your workplace. You are slothful. You pretend to be diligent and hardworking only when there is men looking over your shoulders. You are not diligent and honest in your conduct, in your dealings. You are not holy. You are not right in some of the things you do. Honestly speaking, I may not be a Christian, you may argue, but I think I am more honest than you are. At least I don't pretend to be someone that I'm not, but you seem to be pretending to be someone you're not. You talk a lot, but you don't live it out. And that's where sanctification comes in. And this applies to our husband-wife relationship. all relationships, every area of your life that God has given to you. You are excused from a parent-child relationship if you do not have any children. You are excused from husband-wife relationship if you are not married, or if you are a widow or a widower. Areas, every one of them, must come under this word, sanctification. Now, how is a believer sanctified? Now, there are some people who believe and think that believe in Jesus Christ is what I need to be saved. But then my life of sanctification is accomplished by the good works that I do. And so the more good works I do, the more sanctified I become. So salvation is by Christ, sanctification is by good works, and I will continue to do this until glorification. Now this is not what the Bible teaches. You do not live a holy life, do good works according to the Bible, and then become sanctified. That is not sanctification. You'll realize that the sanctification that the Bible speaks of is not the work of man. You are saved by Christ, you are sanctified by Christ, and you will be glorified also because of Christ. There is no second in your life from the time of your conversion, from the time you are born again, to the time you die, not even one second, where sanctification is in your hands. It is not in your hands. So in other words, when the Bible speaks of abstinence, you want to really put off all that which is evil. It cannot be your own effort. You try to do that, you're going to collapse, you're going to fail. If you want to prove all things and to do that which is right and good in the sight of God, that is to put on the good and to put off the bad, like changing your filthy garments and put on new garments, it has to be the work of God. And that's how the Bible begins when it talks about sanctification. And the very God of peace sanctify you. It has to be God's work. It has to be God who will be doing the work of sanctification after salvation. And there are only two things in the Bible that God will use to sanctify us. Of course, the Bible also says Christ will sanctify us. The Holy Spirit will also sanctify us. Here we have God, the God the Father will sanctify us. So it is the work of the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And what God will use, when we are born again, it will be the blood and the word of God. And after we are born again and we continue to live for the Lord Jesus Christ on this earth, it will continue to be the blood and the word of God. Jesus, in his high priestly prayer, prayed to the Father, sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. So the word of God is that which will sanctify us. And now who will take the word of God and sanctify us? It is God. And the word very God means God himself. It simply means God himself. So God will take the word. And so the word of God will be the means that God will use. But the person who will employ the means is not going to be you. That is why when you study the word of God, God will take his word that you study consistently, not sporadically, not when you feel like it you come, but consistently, monthly, weekly, bi-monthly, whatever regular program that you are involved in the church. You stick with it. And before you know it, after a season of time, you can't help it. You will begin to change. Your whole behavior and conduct will change. It is the power of the work of God in your life. That is how sanctification is done. The source, the origin, the one doing it is God. It is God who will do it. God will use the blood of Christ. God will use his word to make us holy, make us clean. No other way. God is the one who will do it. But God says, you have to avail yourself to the study of God's word. That is our duty and responsibility. And when you come and you attend a Bible study, it has to be a proper Bible study. You have to make sure that the teacher, the preacher that teaches you is doing a good job. Because there are many churches out there, they are messing things up. It is a very sad thing that people in churches, Christians in churches, attend BSF. You know what is BSF? It's a very exclusive group. They are very protective of their material. but I was able to look at some of the material, to evaluate them, and they are dangerous. If you are involved in BSF, counsel to you is, stop it immediately. No matter who this inner circle, the high society that you might be in, that you rub shoulders with these people may give you a lot of pride and credibility because I am in this inner group. That's where the problem also is, isn't it? Why must the study of God's word be so exclusive? Why are there materials kept away from others? If it is so good, let others have it. You read it, you study it, it's dangerous. It's not any Bible study. It has to be the Word of God that is properly taught by preachers and teachers who will truly give you the Word of God. And the Word of God will be used by God Himself. That's what it means. God Himself, and He will take the Word of God and make you holy. Now, what exactly happens when God makes a person holy? First, your mind will be changed. You will begin to think like God. When you study the Word of God, slowly but surely you will begin to think more and more like God and less like the world. That's how powerful the Word of God is. And it is real. You can see it in the lives of so many of our people. You see them studying the Word of God. And you see how their priorities will change. Many years ago, they hardly attend Bible study. But once they have attended one Bible study and they have tasted how good it is, the Word of God is to them. You realize that they will set aside other activities. And then they begin to have two Bible studies a month, and then three. And sometimes they even have two or three a week. And there are many of our people in the church who are doing that. And we thank God that many attend the night classes in FEBC. Why do you attend? We know it is a big sacrifice. Because after a hard day's work, you attend another 2 more hours in the evening and you sit there to listen to God's Word. And some of you bring your family because you know how important it is to study God's Word and how the Word of God can transform and change the hearts and the lives of your children. You know your words have power, but you know your words have limited power. Your words have no power to change hearts. Your word has power in your own home. You can tell when the aircon is allowed to be turned on, when the aircon is allowed to be turned off, when the dinner is ought to be, what food to be served in your own home. All these are within your power. You decide. You have power in your words. But you know that you cannot change the hearts of your children. You tell them to conduct themselves better. You tell them to behave themselves. You tell them to stop drinking, to stop smoking, to come back early, to stop fooling around, to stop fornication. They won't listen, especially once they have grown into adult years. You have lost control. Your words have no power over hearts. But God's Word has power over hearts, and it will control the mind first. Because for a Christian, his heart is already sanctified. You're already sanctified by the blood of Christ and the Word of God when you are born again. But then you are an immature Christian. You are new, and there's so much more to do in the cleansing. And so, through the study of God's Word, that's why if you really want your children to be changed, to be good children, not just good children, but godly children, where they will think like God, where they will conduct themselves like God in their behavior. Encourage them in the study of God's Word. No other way. You have the most powerful tool on earth in your hands, at your disposal. Do you realize that, parents? You know you can't do it. You know prayer is not enough. You know that. Prayer can sanctify the food you eat. That's what the Bible says, 1 Timothy. But to change the hearts and the lives of your people, of your children, the people that you love and who have gone wayward, you have to use the Word of God. You have to encourage them, especially when they are young. Surround them and encourage them to attend the fellowships. The many ministries for children of all ages, from the youngest to the oldest, are all available for you in the church. Why don't you take advantage of it? Because if you don't, when they grow up older, when they are out of your house and into the world, you know it's even many, many times harder. When they are young, they still listen to you, when you still have 100% or even 80% over their lives. You can still tell them and they will still listen to you. They may resist a bit, they may struggle, they may be reluctant. But you know you have 80% control and you insist they will go. They may not like it. That's our problem as parents. We let our children be our boss. We are not behaving as parents. You are a parent. Do you know the authority of a parent? You have that authority. You are a father. You are a mother. Don't let your child be the boss. You be the boss. You tell the child, this is what you are to do. You do it. Full stop. You don't have to explain every reason. Sometimes if you choose to do so, you do so. But there are other times you just assert your authority. Go means you go. No two ways about it. That's it. But do it through a life of example. You make sure you also study God's word. You want your child to attend YF? You make sure you attend AF. Because they're going to counter and one day they're going to see, Mom and Dad, they asked me to go YF. Look at them. AF, they stay home. And you see what they do? They sit there and watch their Korean movie. Huh. And they push me out of the house. One day when I'm old enough. And you see? Yeah, they will listen to you one day, but one day they're going to not listen any longer. Do you realize how important and how powerful the Word of God is? God is now telling us, as Christians, as Heavenly Father to all of us, He's telling us, I myself will make you holy. Through the Word of God, I will make you holy. Do you know that? Don't you want to think like God? And then once you begin to think like God, your will also be transformed. Your will want to act like God. And then very often, your conduct and your behavior will change. We know that it is no use beating a dead horse. It's not going to come back to life. You keep on beating it, will not come back to life. Getting people to come on church on time, getting people to regard the Lord's Day as the whole day as holy unto the Lord, getting people to come for prayer meeting, to come for sunset gospel hour, we know that it's like beating a dead horse. Because the problem is not all this external, the problem is inside. We know that. The problem is the heart. Because there is no way we as human beings can control your will. Only God can, only God's word can. Because it is not a kind of an enticement. We're not going to entice you to come. And one pastor asked, how to increase the people and get them to come more for prayer meeting? Because our church, the prayer meeting is in the doldrums. Less than 10% of our congregation come for prayer meeting. I say, very easy. You want to get them to come? Very easy. You just observe this simple formula. Tell everyone in the church, January, everyone who comes for prayer meeting, no more than 3 absentees. The church will pay you $10,000. They will come. Strangers will also come. If they hear about you, put in a weekly. Tom, Dick and Harry will come. You come? Or you're not enough, or at 20,000. You come? We know it's not a matter of enticement. We don't want physical bodies here. It is the heart. The heart is the will. You have to want to come for the right reason. And you can't. Because if you are not sanctified with the mind of God, where you do not understand and realize the importance of it, no point coming. You don't come to please any human being. Then you come for the wrong reason. You don't come because of your boyfriend or your girlfriend, or you want to impress a girl because now you see how holy I am. I come for sunset, you know. Not interested. You come because you believe that this is the right thing to do. Because the Word of God, God Himself, through the Word, has sanctified me. Now my thinking has changed. Because my thinking has changed, my will has changed. There is a transformation in my heart and in my life. I thank God for the sunset gospel hour. Because since I was born again, God has placed in my heart a strong desire for the Word of God. And so when I was in my previous church, I was looking through the newspaper to look for an evening service to attend after the morning service. I did not know anyone from Pandan or from the BP church in my previous church. So I attended evening services in charismatic churches. I would take bus where I stay in the west side. Now I will take a bus, go to Serangoon, Upper Serangoon to attend any evening service that I find in the newspaper. All kinds. I attended charismatic, I attended new evangelical, all sorts of, because I do not know any better. And then one day I was introduced to the sunset in the 1980s. And I thank God for the sunset.
I learned so much. Learn about Billy Graham, and learn about New Evangelicalism, learn about the ecumenical movement, all these things I did not even know existed. Learn about the Reformation, Martin Luther, John Calvin, John Knox, William Tyndale. I thank God for the Sunset Gospel Hour. So when I found this, I kept on coming in the evening. Make sure that in the evening I will be here, attending the Sunset Gospel Hour. And then I did not know that God will use the Sunset Gospel Hour to call me into full-time ministry. Because if I have remained in my church has no pastor. My church is very good in fellowship. Fellowship, fellowship, fellowship. But as far as the preaching and teaching in the Word of God was concerned, it was weak. They did not tell us about Martin Luther. The only Martin Luther I knew of was Martin Luther King. And so when Dr. Jeffrey Good talked about Martin Luther, I said, what has this young boy telling me about this black man? Why you keep on talking about this black man? What's so great about this black man? And I was so shy, I did not tell him, why are you talking about this black man? Because I don't want him to think that I'm ignorant, you see. So I want him to think that I also know what he was talking about, but my mind was this black man. He read more, he knew more than me. But I thank God for the Sunset Gospel Hour. It has to be an act of the mind that has been sanctified by God through the study of God's Word. And then the will will change. The will will now be, I don't want to do my own will anymore, Lord. I want to do the will of my Father. That's what happens. Because right now we are still my will versus God's will. If you're born again, if you're not born again, forget about God's will. It's only always my will. It's always what I want. Always what I will always be dominant, because that has been our old life, wasn't it? We all know that. We all had experienced that when we were born again. I don't think you would ever forget what it was like. Because the Lord will not allow us to forget. That's why the Lord's Supper. Remember what you were like. And now remember who you are. Take the Lord's Supper. Remember how Christ meant everything to you. He is your Lord, your Master, your Savior. He has now control over your life because He has sanctified it. He has redeemed it with His precious blood. He owns you now. You're no more your own. That's what the Lord's Supper is to remind us of. So you can never forget. Last time it has all been what I want. What is best for me. My future, my money, my life, me. And then if I have my family, then it will be my family. Always comes first, above everybody else. But you are a Christian. You cannot be sleeping. We are not talking about physical sleeping. We are talking about spiritual sleeping. As long as you continue to love the world, and as long as you continue to allow the filth of the world to hold your heart, to grip you, then the sanctification process in your life that you say has begun when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior, now it has stalled. It has ceased. Very much like Lot. His life was a wretch. It is recorded to warn us. Do you want your life to be like Lot? Or do you want your life to be like his uncle Abraham? A life of faith. A life of joy that is pleasing to the Lord. Or is it going to be a life of Lot where he will lose everything in the end of his life except his salvation? He was snatched out of the fires of hell by the skin of his teeth. He lost his family. He lost his testimony. He lost everything. You want to end up like that? God doesn't want any one of us, his children, to end up like that. That's why he says, I myself will sanctify you. Not angels. I'm not going to send angels. I myself will do it. And I will do it through the Word of God. And that is why every church must have a very, very good, many, many Bible study programs. Many to suit and to fit every one of you to the best of our ability. And we try to do that. And one of the best ways is church camp. You have to attend church camp. That is the best time where you are literally taken out of the world. Where you do not have to go to work. Where you come outside of the world and you spend time with God's people and you watch, you observe and see how God has touched the hearts and the lives of your family inside this church. It's a church family. Your brothers and your sisters in Christ. How the work of God continue to work in their life. We are not perfect. We are far from perfect. We are all striving toward holiness. That's what we are all doing right now. But you keep on staying yourself, keeping yourself out of it. You're going to be the loser. You're going to end up like Lot. Our fear and our scare is that there are more Lots in the church than Abraham's. That's our problem. Abraham passed the test of offering his only begotten son Isaac. Lot could not do that. Lot sold his children to the world. When he told them, the Lord is going to judge us, we are going to be destroyed by fire and brimstone, the daughter who was married, the son-in-law, laughed at him. Mock him. You're kidding, right, Pa? You have never told us anything about Christ. You have never told us anything about the judgment. Now suddenly you tell us that by the end of tonight, we are all going to die. Go away. And they died. Now you want to tell us you have lost your moral right and authority. Please bear in mind, you continue to head in your willful direction. Very soon you're going to lose your moral right and authority. Don't lose it. When you have your child, when they are still in your arms, the moral right and authority that you have, and this baby look up at you, you hold this child in your arms, you have 100%. They look up at you, you are mom, you are dad. Whatever you tell us, mom and dad, we both do. You have moral authority over them. But as they grow older, and by your bad testimony, your willful testimony against the will of God in your life, you're going to lose it. The way that Lot lost it all. And by the time he wanted to get it back, it was too late. Was he saved? Yes, Lot was saved, because the Bible says he was called just Lot. He was saved. Was it because God did not sanctify him? No. God sent Abraham to tell him the truth. When he was in captivity, God, through Abraham, restored him and his whole family and all his belonging back to him. And then when the king of Sodom came to Abraham and asked him, thank you very much. Now you just return to us, our family. You can keep all these as spoils of war, as reward from me, king of Sodom, for delivering us. Abraham said to him within the earshot of Lot, I will not take anything from you, not even a shoe latch, not even a shoelace. Just in case you will one day say, I have made Abraham rich. In other words, Abraham was telling him, your money, your gold, your silver, whatever wealth you have tainted by homosexuality and fornication, I want have nothing to do with you. I'm no mercenary. If you were to take the money, that means you did it for money. Abraham said, I did it because I love my nephew Lot. And Lot heard all these things. The sad part was, a couple of chapters later, Lot was back in Sodom. Not only back in Sodom, but he sat at the gate as one of the governors and leaders of Sodom. Don't be Lot. Let God, through his word, sanctify you. God wants to make you more and more like him. The journey has begun the moment you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior. The journey has begun. Don't put your own stumbling blocks in front of your own pathway by your willful action. Begin to study the Word of God. Make it your priority. Won't you? Make it your priority, please. If you think that I have accepted Christ as my Lord, as my Savior, now I have a place in heaven, God, mind your own business. I want to live my life and I want to make earth my heaven. I want to have heaven on earth. So let me make my money. Thank you for reserving for me a place in heaven. Now please leave me alone. Let me live my own life. You don't find this kind of attitude from any passage of scripture. If that is your attitude, please check your salvation again. Please really check your salvation again. God did not have this kind of children. Because to even think this way about God, you don't understand what it means for Jesus Christ to go to the cross for you. Your sins and my sins caused Jesus Christ to suffer the persecution that the Bible described for us. The Son of God, God Himself, abused by us, shed blood because of us, because of your sins and my sins. And if you really believe that Jesus Christ went through all that to die for you, and you dare to tell Him, thank you for reserving me a place on earth, in heaven, mind your own business as I live my life on earth, then you don't understand gratitude. You don't understand salvation. You don't understand Christ. God will make us holy. To what extent, you may ask? Well, God is not a God of half measures. And He says, sanctify you wholly. Holy means completely, How complete? Well, I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body. Now, this is not a teaching against the doctrine of bipartite. Bipartite means God made man out of two parts. Not tripartite, three parts. God made us of two parts. Soul and spirit. Sorry, soul and body. Soul and spirit are interchangeable. Alright? It is taught clearly in scriptures. So when you die, the body remains. Your soul or spirit will go up to heaven. Animals have no soul or spirit. Animals just have a body. That's it. That's it. They just have a body. When they die, they don't have a soul or spirit that will go to somewhere that is called animal world. Animal heaven. Where all the chicken, the birds, the ducks, your dog, and your pet dog will be there. Your goldfish don't have. When they die, they finish. In this particular verse, in this particular phrase, the soul and the body simply means the spirit that is the us, the invisible us, the real us, that is inside this body, our spirit, and then the body, of course, the body, the soul will be the breath that is in your body. That's what it means. And if you understand this soul to mean the breath, then you can say the animals, the fish, the birds, all that have soul, that means the breath. They breathe, they are alive. So in other words, how holy does God want to make us holy? Every part of us. That's why the Apostle Paul used these three words in succession and combined them together using the conjunction so that you will not miss the point. Spirit, soul, and body. Every part of you, not one part of you, must be left out in God's sanctifying process. That means God wants you to be holy in your thinking. God wants you to be holy in your act of the will. God wants you to be holy as a husband, as a wife, as a son, as a daughter, as a friend. God wants you to be holy as a servant of God, as a child of God. Every part without any area being omitted. That's what it means. But that's our problem, isn't it? We want to segment our lives into many parts. When I come to church, Lord, I want to be holy. And so we sing hymns and so on. But the moment we walk out of the church, from Monday to Saturday, now is my own life, I live it my way. I don't need your sanctifying power. A person who wants God to continue to sanctify him, to allow God to continue to work in his life, he will pray without ceasing. That's why this whole passage is to be understood in its continuity. It builds one on top of the other in a very biblical and logical sequence. Because when you know that God is sanctifying you, you will rejoice evermore, you will pray without ceasing because you will keep on leaning on God to do it for you, and then in everything you will give thanks because God is now sanctifying you even through the trials and difficulties in your life. So that your trust in the Word of God will become very real, because then you will experience and know in your heart, because you'll now have experienced it, that I can trust God not only in good times, but I can also trust God in times of adversities. That is why even if you are told that I have terminal cancer, I only have a few more days to live, you can still rejoice in the Lord because my Father makes no mistakes. And now God is teaching me how I can not only trust Him when I am healthy and strong, but now I am weak and my body is failing me, I continue to trust Him. And I thank God for this experience that I can still trust Him. You know money cannot buy that. You cannot say, alright, imagine in your mind I have cancer. Imagine in your mind I have 3 more months to live. Lord, I still trust you. It's not imagining. It's real. And you're going through it and you passed it. That's what it means. You read the testimony of our young brother, Chong Tuan. He's not a mature, big, many years Christian. He's a new Christian. But he became a Christian through his illness. And he continued to testify of God's goodness in his life through his illness. And you look at his testimony before the Lord called him home. He said his farewell. He embraced his mommy. He was not thinking of himself. He was thinking of his sister. He was thinking of his family. He realized and experienced and understood the great sacrifices that they have made, hoping that he will recover and get better and be a good testimony for the Lord. But he testified and he said to all of us, did you not read? He said to all of us that he knew that his work was done. That's what he says. He said, my job is done here, he said in the third paragraph. On Saturday night, the night before Tuan passed away, he hugged mother and asked, please pray for me to go home to be with God. My job here is done. I want sister to be free, focusing on her life. I'm praying for sister and parents every day. He probably did not have too many friends, because he spent most of his life in hospital since he was a young boy. But his family was everything to him. But in his final moments on this earth, he was not thinking of himself. He was thinking of the people that he loved so much. And now they all came to know Christ. And now he knows that one day they will meet again in heaven. You don't have to be a seminary professor, study all the Hebrew and Greek and memorize all the verbs and conjugate all the nouns and pass every verb that you know to be sanctified. It's none of these things. It's a life of obedience, it's a life of surrender, it's a life of a Christian. That's all. It is not something that you want to do, therefore it happens. God has already begun the work. When you reject it, when you stay away from God's word, when you stay away from other Christians, you are hindering your own sanctification process. And you can't even blame it on Satan. You did it all on your own. By your willful rejection and disobedience and rebellion against God. You know that God is talking to you. You know that this is right. You know as a father, as a mother, this is the right way. And you have to restore back your moral authority as a father and a mother at home. For your children's sake and for the name of Christ's sake that you say you bear. That's why it has to be the whole body. Not one part is excluded. Whole spirit, soul and body be preserved. Be kept holy. Not just sporadically holy on and off, but be kept holy. Be kept holy by God. God will do it. Be preserved. God is not you preserving. That's why it's in a passive voice. Someone outside will do the preservation. God wants to do it. That's how important your life is to God. God gave us His perfect word. He preserved His word so that God can preserve your holiness, your sanctification, your life of testimony for Him. Do you realize that? Jesus Christ is now seated at God's right hand, interceding for us, praying for us. Angels are in heaven. God did not send angels. God sent you. God sent all His children. To do what? To be His witnesses. That's why the sanctification process is not glorification. Don't confuse it with glorification. Glorification comes at the end, when Jesus Christ will take us home. When Jesus Christ comes again, take us home, and we meet Him up in the clouds halfway, and then He will bring us all the way home. That is called glorification. That is a one-point event. Sanctification is a journey that takes place on this earth. The moment you are born again on this earth, your journey of sanctification has begun. The source is God. The extent, every part of you, every part of God's children. When will it begin, the time? The moment you are born again. That's why you see the phrase, unto the coming. Unto the coming means till the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That means it begins now. It is not when the Lord comes, I'm sanctified. No, when the Lord comes, you are glorified. This coming of the Lord is the coming of the Lord that is referred to in chapter 4. That is coming of the Lord Jesus Christ for the church. Make sure you know the distinction. The second coming of Christ, when He comes down on the white horse, wearing on His head the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, with all the myriads of saints and angels with Him, fighting the enemy at the battle of Armageddon, that is the second coming of Christ with the church. And that coming, He will land all the way down to this earth on Mount Olive, and He will destroy this world as the judge of all judges. But this second coming of Christ for the church is different. He doesn't come all the way down. He meets us halfway in the air. That's what chapter 4 tells us, right? The rapture. And so this coming of the Lord for us refers to the coming of the Lord for the church. So therefore, if it is until the coming of the Lord for us, that means it begins right now. So sanctification process is not after or when Jesus comes. Sanctification begins right now in your life because you will be God's light and salt in this world. That's how important it is. That's why God says, I will do the work for you. You just trust me. You just lean on me. I will do all the work for you. All you need to do is to come for Bible study, and the Word of God will change you and transform you, and you can't help yourself. You will definitely be changed, because that's the power of my Word. The Word of God can make out of nothing this whole universe. That's how powerful God's Word is. Parents, that's how powerful the Word of God is. You want your children to be holy? Push them in the direction of God. Encourage them to study God's Word. Come to church camp. Why do you think that the leaders give 40-50% discount? And to those who are in financial straits, the leaders are prepared to give 100% discount. Because money is useless. The tithe and offering of God are for the blessing of God's people, that you may grow spiritually. That's the primary purpose. Extend God's kingdom. We have missionaries, but above all else, it has to be used for the betterment of your spiritual life. 40-50%. And if more, by all means, you need more help, by all means. The leaders are more than happy, because that's what the church is all about. To help you grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. To help all of God's children to become more and more like Christ in the way they think, in the way that they act. The will has to be changed. And God says, I want your will to be the same as mine. That's what the Lord's Prayer is all about. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You make that prayer. Did you know this morning? Don't make it perfunctorily. Say it from your heart. Because God's will is always done in heaven. That's why when the Lord taught us to pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God's will is always done in heaven. Anyone who doesn't do God's will, like Satan, God cast him out. All the angels, God cast them out. All those who are now in heaven, they are doing God's will. All those who have died in Christ, now they're in heaven doing God's will. That's why while we are on earth, we make this prayer, Lord, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, who are the only ones who want God's will to be done on earth? Christians. Us. That's why God says, I want to sanctify you, make you holy in your thinking, make you holy in your will, so that your will be changed and will be transformed. In the 3rd century, you know this man called Celsius, we use his name, you know, 50 degrees Celsius and so on. Celsius was not a believer. And he challenged Oregon. What kind of God do you have? We have a world where when they want people to come and serve the country, we ask for the best. We ask for the clean. We ask for the smart. We ask for the brilliant ones. We don't ask for the weak, the frail, the wicked, the evil, the useless. But that's what your God, Jesus Christ, kept on asking. Why did he call unto him all those who are labor and are heavy laden? Because we need his sanctification. That's why God says, those who are not sick, they won't need a physician. But God did not leave us there, did he? Did he leave us as evil and wicked? He may call us at the start. All the evil, all the wicked, all the sinful, all the sinners. You know that you are, you come to me. But God did not stop us there. That was how Oregon reasoned. But he did not stop there. He wants us to be pure and clean by the power of his. We may begin like that, but one day we're going to end so differently. We're going to end and become like God. Very true, isn't it? The world will ask for the best, the prime and the greatest, the highest IQ. You come and you serve with us in the highest offices of the world. When God called you, what were you like? You approach him as one who is clean and self-righteous, you can forget it. When we all came to Christ, we all recognized and realized how great sinners we were. We all realized how wicked and how evil we were. And then God sanctified us when we accepted Christ as Lord and Savior. And then you and I experienced in our own hearts the beginning of the transformation and the change. Last time the ambition was, I want to be rich, I want to be a millionaire. After a few years as a Christian, you study God's word. Lord, what do you want me to do with my life? I will do what you want. I will go anywhere you go. You sent me. What has caused the change? The world doesn't understand this. The world thinks that you're a fool. Isn't that true? There's a change. What has happened to your will? What has happened to your thinking? The word of God. You can't help it. That is the process, the supernatural process of the work of salvation that God has wrought in our hearts, and God is now telling us what I have mentioned before in all these verses. Put off, put on, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. I'm just describing my children while they sojourn on this earth, while they live on this earth. Last time they were citizens of this world, strangers and foreigners to the things of God. The ones they are born again, the role is reversed. Now they are strangers and foreigners in this world, to this world. But now they are sons and daughters of things that once upon a time they were strangers to. They were foreign to. But now they love everything that is spiritual, that is of Christ. Because they have become part of the household of God. They have become fellow citizens with all the saints. Have we not? Saints, holy ones. That's what saints mean. Are you holy? God says, I want to make you holy. Will you let me? Or will you keep on running further and further away from me? God says, I want to make you holy so that you will shine like the brightest star in your world, so that your loved ones cannot help, but when they look at your life, they will see Christ. And they will want to know this Christ. They want to know the power that this Christ has wrought in your heart. They want, God wants all these from all of us, without exception. Doesn't matter what kind of background you have, the blood of Christ has already washed away all your sins. And God wants to sanctify you, make you more and more like Christ. It doesn't matter what your past has been. It's about your present and your future. It's who you are right now in Christ Jesus that God wants to make you holy, so that you will think like God as a father, as a wife, as a husband, as a son, as a daughter, as an employer, as an employee. Think like Christ, and therefore you will begin to act like Christ. That's what biblical sanctification is. God will do it. God wants the whole body, and the timing is now. Until the Lord returns. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, sanctify us, O Lord, by thy truth, for thy word is truth. May thy Holy Spirit take the word of everlasting life and speak to the hearts of all your children, that all of us may desire to be holy, because thou art holy. In Jesus' name we give thanks and pray. Amen.